Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei, the Frun family Shir. Zechron Lilui Nishmas, Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allaha Hashalom. May the Neshama continue to merit an Aliyah and Zechira Latova in this chus of the Divrei Torah that we will share this evening. And we continue to extend our sincere thanks and appreciation and admiration to the Frun family for their stellar and unwavering commitment to these Divrei Torah, Limudim, and Arbatus HaTorah Lezeichon Nishmas, their mother, Allaha HaShalom. Should be a Meritzel Yashar for the entire family, Be'ezus Hashem, for only Besoros Tovus and Simchas. So we are in the middle of a Kunshas Bar of Victor Miller. What we're talking about in the Sefer is making your will to be Hashem's will. So in other words, I shouldn't have a will at all. The only thing I should have is whatever Hashem wants. That's what I do. The Gedolim live on a different realm of reality, a different, entirely different realm of reality. And the way they live their lives is only something that I could ever dream of achieving. But it should be an inspiration to all of us, to inspire us to reach ever higher heights. And they should storm the Kisei HaKavod, the Besoros Tovus for Al Kal Yisrael. They're truly an example of Ritzoneinu Lasso Ritzoncha, of not having any will besides for the will of the Ribono Shel Olam. So we are up to this Kunshas by Rabbi Victor Miller. We're in the middle, and that's where we're up to. Remember, it was on Parshas Vayikra, and it is called Offering Up Your Ego, which is really what our Mechaber, our author, is speaking about, offering up our ego to the Ribono Shel Olam. So the last thing we learned, I'm just going to recap so we know where we are. The Gemara teaches, La'olam yehe adam rach kekana velo kasha ke'eres. A person should always be as soft as a reed and not hard like a cedar tree. You shouldn't be hard or firm or harsh like a cedar tree. You should be soft like a reed. Here are two plants. A reed is soft, and when the wind blows, it bends with the wind. And here comes a cedar tree that refuses to budge. You think the cedar tree is better because it's strong. It's not bending. You think it's a better tree. It's a higher, prouder, taller, stronger tree. The problem is along comes a hurricane, and the hurricane hits the cedar tree and uproots it. And after the hurricane, the cedar tree is lying on the ground, uprooted. The reed is still there, still standing up. What's the difference? The reed has learned to bend. So then when the strong wind comes, it learns to bend and pick itself back up. Unlike the cedar tree that is never bendable, and because it's never bendable, when a storm comes, it topples over. The difference is the reed comes and goes with the wind. It gives. That was my own words. So Victor Miller. If you bend, it bends if you push it this way. It bends if you push it the other way. It doesn't break. The cedar won't bend. And finally, it breaks before the hurricane. This is the mashal the Gemara gives for a man who's able to sacrifice. Let himself bend this way. Let himself bend that way. That's the person who's going to endure. He will endure in this world. He'll endure in the next world, in the world of eternity. In the real world, where his midos will be remembered, the Tova forever, he will live long. There's no question about it. One who's willing to be pushed this way and that way, he will endure in this world, he will endure in the next world, he will be successful. There's a very interesting medrash that I came across a number of weeks ago, that when I was learning this piece of Victor Miller in preparation for the shir, reminded me of this medrash. I didn't bring the whole sefer because it's one small excerpt. It's a quote from Medrash Tanchuma, but interestingly, in my Medrash Tanchuma at home, Parshas Nitzavim, Medrash Tanchuma, Siman Dalet, it's not in my Medrash Tanchuma. Oh, I know this happened to me once before. Rabbi Shai Shechter quoted a piece from Medrash Tanchuma that I went to look up, and it's not in my Medrash Tanchuma. I don't understand. I'm talking about like Hebrew language sefer Medrash Tanchuma. So I'm not sure. So there must be different variations of Medrash Tanchuma. So in other words, that piece Rabbi Shai Shechter, he sent me the original. I don't know. Generally, my Medrash Tanchuma has all the Medrashim listed, but I don't know. There must be different Gersas. Okay, so this is a quote from Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, quotes this Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Nitzavim, Siman Dalet. Okay? And it's not in the original Lashon, it's just in English, but I'm just one short quote from the Medrash. The point is that I couldn't look it up. So I'm just quoting from Covenant and Conversation, Leviticus, page 424, which the Medrash is listed. But this teaching about La'olam yehe adam rach kekana, a person should be soft like a reed, velo kasha ke'eres, and not strong like a cedar, that is what this piece that Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs quotes reminds me of. It is the way of the world, you'll hear why, because he's talking about reeds, R-E-E-D-S. It is the way of the world that if a person takes a bundle of reeds, an agudah. The lashon of the Medrash is if a person takes an agudah of reeds and tries to break them together, he cannot. If, however, the sticks are taken one by one, even a child can break them. So too with Israel. They are redeemed only when they form one band, aguda achas. It's a very beautiful medrash. If you have, I don't know, 10, 20 reeds altogether, because they're soft, because they bend, when you try and break them, you can't break them when they're all in one aguda. However, if you take them one by one and you individualize them, even a child can break them. The Midrash is saying that this is a metaphor for Klal Yisrael. When we stick together, when we're all together, one aguda, aguda achat, in the language of the Midrash, then no one can break us and redemption comes. For Rachmana Litzlan, when we start to faction and divide ourselves and each one stands each man to himself, and even a child, Rachmana Litzlan, can break us. So I thought it's not exactly what Rav Avigdor Miller is speaking about, but since I had just learned that a few weeks before, a beautiful Midrash, and then I'm reading this piece from Avigdor Miller, it's on my mind. They're both talking about reeds. So what do we learn from a reed? Number one, we need to stick together. We need to be one band. We need to make sure we are aguda achas, because then the reeds are unbreakable. The other thing we learn is that a reed is soft and it comes and goes with the wind. And it is ultimately the strong cedar tree that will be uprooted in the storm. But if a storm comes and a person has learned how to bend this way and how to bend that way, then you are not as susceptible to falling over. There's a word about davening. I don't know who originally said it. I don't remember where I read it. Not my own idea. I don't know who told it to me or where I read it. When we daven at the end of our Amida every day, Osa Shalom B'Mamav, we ask Hashem Aleinu V'al Kol Yisrael V'Imru Amen. We take 3 steps back, and then we bend to the left, we bend to the right, and we bend forward. Osa Shalom B'Mamav, to the left, we ask Hashem Aleinu, to the right, Kol Yisrael V'Imru Amen. So the word goes, again, it's not my idea, but I don't remember where I heard it or read it, that for what are we asking for? Osa Shalom B'Mamav, who makes Shalom in the heights. We ask Hashem Aleinu, he should make peace upon us, while Kol Yisrael and upon all of Israel, v'imru amen. In order for there to be shalom, we need to sometimes take 3 steps back. Don't be such an action. Don't stand in your place. Be willing to take 3 steps back. And like I'm tying it into the reed, it ties in exactly. Sometimes you need to bend to the left, and sometimes you need to bend to the right, and sometimes you need to mevater forward. He who stands straight and rigid, he who is not bendable will never be able to access shalom, because shalom means sometimes you gotta take be mevater, move back, recede from your position. Again, we're not talking about, I say this all the time, we're not talking about extreme cases, we're not talking about yotzi min haklal, we're not talking about danger, we're not talking about abuse. That is not what I mean. I'm talking about in general, you know, two times in 2 months, two different people, I couldn't believe it, made the same totally inappropriate comment to me about someone in my family. I was shocked. I was really shocked. First of all, I think more people need to learn Shmir Salashon. That's number one. Just learn Shmir Salashon. I'll be much more conscious of what you say. It's changed my life, really. The 7 years I'm teaching Shmir Salashon every other week, sponsor doesn't want to be named. It's really changed my life. I don't understand. But I didn't say anything. I was mevater. I didn't even repeat it to my husband. I didn't tell anyone. I said, Hashem, let it be for a bracha. I'm closing my mouth. You have to learn to take 3 steps back. And you have to learn to say, I can be mevater, my position. Should it have been said? No. 2 people said, okay, so people, but you need to, again, that's what I'm saying. It's not a situation of like, you know, you need professional help, rabbinic help, medical help. I'm not talking about any of that. But this happens to all of us. It doesn't really happen to Michal Haaretz. It happens to all of us. It's sometimes we just need to learn to be like the cedar. La'ola mihi adam rach kekana velo kasha ke'eres. And furthermore, not only will we be able to survive better these storms of this world, but we will also become as an aguda achas when the reeds come all together, then nobody could break us. Okay. Let's go on. We're going on to Victor Miller. We're talking about the conscious of making God's will our will and sacrificing our ego. So So remember, the last thing we learned from Rav Avigdor Miller is that a person needs to sacrifice his ego, but not because he wants to have peace with the other person, and not because he wants to have success in business, and not because he wants to his marriage successful, his life successful, his health successful. That's not the real reason that a person should be mevater, and it's not the real reason a person should take 3 steps back. The reason is, that's not what we're talking about, says Rav Avigdor Miller, that's sacrificing for the sake of parnasa. That's sacrificing for the sake of Shalom Bayis. That's sacrificing for the sake of happy children. That's all wonderful, exclamation mark. But we're talking about sacrificing for something bigger. We're not talking about sacrificing because of the other person. We're talking about sacrificing because there is a Ribbono Shalom. Oh, that person's going to benefit. I'm going to benefit. There will be more Shalom. Maybe your parnasa will be better. Maybe your home will be healthier. Maybe your status will be, I don't mean status like status. I mean your health status will be better. But that's not why we should be motivated to sacrifice our ego. We should be motivated to sacrifice our ego because we want to bring makriv, a karban, to the Ribbono Shalom. And who's the karban we want to be makriv? Ourself. See the Ramban to Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Tes, where the Ramban illustrates how the animal that's being sacrificed is really ourself. And when a person brings the carbon, he should really think to himself, it's my feet that sinned, it's my hands, it's my mind, it's really my blood that should be on the carbon, but Hashem in His mercy took something else instead of me. So when we are mevater, and when we are bendable like a reed, and when we close our mouths, and we don't answer back to a person who says something that's totally inappropriate, so, and again, if you can, I'm not talking about a dangerous situation, chas v'sham. When you're bringing a carbon like that, you should recognize it's not because I want shalom with this person. It's because there's a Ribbono Shel Olam who says, Tola Eretz Al Blima. What does it mean, Tola Eretz Al Blima? The Pasuk says in Tehillim. So the Gemara says, what is the world upheld on? Misha Bolem Espiv Bishas Meriva. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Tola Eretz Al Blima. Hashem holds the world up on nothingness. Like, what's holding up planet Earth in the Milky Way? Nothing. Ribbono Shel Olam, what's holding up the earth? How come it is just flying to outer space? I don't know. You could look. You could Google it.
Tola.
It's possible. It's a pasuk from Tehillim. You could Google it. Tola Eretz Al Blima. The world is upheld on nothingness. So the Gemara says, Al Misha Bolim Piv Bishas Meriva. The world is upheld on someone who closes his mouth. So always his mouth.
Who
closes his mouth at the time of.
What? Who says that?
The Gemara.
That is so powerful.
The Gemara on that pasuk says. I don't remember the pasuk or the Masachta. If you Google it, you will probably find it. The Gemara says, Tola Eretz Al Blima. What is the world upheld on? Al Misha Bolim Espiv Bishas Meriva. Someone who closes his mouth at the time of an argument. So the reason I'm closing my mouth is not because I want to have shalom with those two women, even though I do, because I don't want to go around fighting with them, but the reason I'm closing my mouth is because there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's who I have to sacrifice my ego to. And that's Rav Avigdor Miller. We're talking about sacrificing for something bigger. Bring karbanos to Hashem. All this perfection is wasted and not applied in the way it could have been an offering to Hashem. So he says, when you're mevater, for the sake of shalom bayis, or for the sake of business, or for the sake of your health, at least have a machshava that I am being mevater because there is a God. And this is what Hashem wants for me. Hashem wants for me to be a person who makes His will. What's His will? That we should have Shalom. This week is the Birkas Kohanim. What is the combination of all the Birkas Kohanim? Yivarecha is very nice. Yar Hashem Panav Eilecha is very nice. But what's the ultimate blessing of Birkas Kohanim? V'yasim Lecha?
Shalom.
Shalom. The ultimate blessing is that there should be shalom. So therefore, when I am able to be vavater, when I am able to take 3 steps back, bend a little this way like the reed, a little that way, a little forward, when you make yourself like the reed, we have to remember, I'm doing this because there is a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world, and that is His rasan. And then Rav Avigdor Miller continues, and he says, the Yetzer Hara is the I. But that is a false Yetzer Hara. It's not really you. Who is the real you? You are the one who will not answer. You are the one who will give in, the one who will hold, close your mouth, the one who will be mevater. Someone came to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Zechus Halevi Kol Shavracha, and he said, what's the secret to a great marriage? So the man said, so the Rav Aaron Leib said, you have to be, it's brought down the Rav Aaron Leib article biography, I don't remember which page, but it's in there. He says, Rav Aaron Leib says, you have to be mevater. So the man says, ready? That's what I've been telling my wife for 50 years, and she still doesn't listen. So Rav Aaron Leib says, you've been married for 50 years, and you still haven't learned that Shalom Bayis depends on being mevater. It's not only for Shalom Bayis. It's not only for Shalom between spouses. It's for Shalom with other people. Sometimes we have to know how to be mevater. You know, whatever. The Yetzer Hara, that's the I, but it's a false Yetzer Hara. It's not really you. Who is the real you? You are the one who will not answer. You are the one who will give in. The real you is going to slaughter Shach, the false image of yourself. That you think of yourself as some grand personality. This is hysterical. You think of yourself as a Napoleon who wants to step forward with his sword and slay all of his opponents. All of his opponents. That's a failure in life. If you think you're a Napoleon, you're a failure in life. That's a wrong kind of anochi. That's anochi, someone who wants to conquer countries and conquer lands and invade other territories. That's not who we should be. We should not want to invade other people's private spaces. We should not want to invade and impose ourselves on someone else like someone who's trying to conquer other countries. No, a person sacrifices the anochi, the I. Then the true personality becomes so much more successful, and that's why he came into this world. Let's take an example that we spoke about before, says Rabbi Victor Miller. The wife is home. She's also tired. She had a hard day with the children. She's having a hard time. In comes the husband. He's irritated from his encounters with the customers and the competitors. She's exhausted from the children. He was busy dealing with employees. And he opens up his mouth. He sins against his wife. Or vice versa. She sins against him. It doesn't matter. Maybe the wife told him she would have supper ready. He hasn't eaten the whole day, but she forgot because she was too busy. What happens? So forget for a minute what happens before we get to that. Rav Meilich Biederman teaches, the Pasuk tells us by the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid appears both in Parshas Tetzaveh and also in Parshas Pinchas. In a little bit we're going to be after Parshas Pinchas. Parshas the... Let me just make sure I didn't like Chas V'Sham. Okay. So... On Parshas Pinchas and Tetzaveh, we have the Korban Tamid. And if anyone says Korbanos in the morning before Pesukei Dezimra, then you say the Korban Tamid. And what we say is, Esakavas ha'chad ta'aseh b'boker, v'esakavas ha'sheni ta'aseh ben harbaim, k'minchas ha'boker, v'kinescho ta'aseh osam. So the Korban Tamid is they brought one sheep, one lamb in the morning, and one in the afternoon. The Korban Tamid is translated as the continual offering. It was brought every single day, twice a day, mamish, every single day, like Shabbos, every single day it was brought twice a day. And with it opened the morning service, so no korbanos could be brought before the korban tamid, and it closed the day's service. Nor korbanos were brought before the korban tamid, and no korbanos were brought after the korban tamid. So it was the bookend of the avodas Hashem in the Mishkan / Beis HaMikdash. So the pasuk says, "As hakeves echad ta'aseh b'boker, as hakeves hasheni ta'aseh bein ha'arbayim. One keves you shall do in the morning." You should slaughter one animal in the morning, and the other animal you should slaughter in the afternoon. So Meilich Biederman points out that keves, sheep, is the same shoresh as lichbosh, to conquer. Okay? He ties it into Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, perhaps one of the more famous, very, very famous Mishnahis in Pirkei Avos. What does Ben Zoma say? Ezehu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzro. Who is a mighty warrior, someone who overcomes, who conquers his evil inclination. So if Meilich says, Kovesh means to conquer. So if Meilich says, Es HaKeves Echad Ta'aseh B'Boker, you have to conquer your inclination in the morning. You woke up, you're rushed, you're late to work, you're trying to get out of the house, someone else in the house is annoying you, the bathroom's not available, they're in your way in the kitchen, you have so much to take out to the car, you feel like letting it out on somebody. As a kevas echota seboker, you must be kovesh your yetzer in the morning. And then Bein Harabayim, dusk is coming, evening is coming, everyone's coming back from wherever they were. This one was in school, this one was in work, this one was doing errands, this one was, I don't know, shopping, wherever everybody was. Now everybody's coming back home again. You're all going to be together again. Now in the morning you were rushed and harried and you were tired because you didn't sleep enough. And the late afternoon you're tired and rushed and harried because supper has to be put up and you had such a busy day and you have a headache, A, B, and C, X, Y, and Z. And now you're also ready to scream at people in the house. So Meilich says, it's a kevas what do you have to do in the afternoon? Be kovesh your yetzer in the afternoon. So that's really something to keep in mind. Something beautiful. I'll tell you, today I was working for many hours on a shir on shalom. Very in-depth, very text-based, very extensive. Mom is working for hours. I took some breaks to run up and down to the laundry and Baruch Hashem for the washer dryer. So I really had a bad headache at the end of the day. I had to daven mincha. Supper was coming. Everyone was coming home. I had a very bad headache. And I mamish thought to myself, wouldn't it be ironic if I spent a whole day, I mean, I taught shiurim also, I had to do some errands, but whatever, if I spent any time that I was home, not teaching and not driving the car to shiur, wouldn't it be strange if I got upset at people because my head was killing and I'd been sitting at my desk for 5 hours? I spent the whole day writing a shiur on what? Mamish, the whole day, very text based on shalom, specifically ben adam v'chaveiro shalom. And then they come home and I get upset because why? My head was really, really hurting and I have a very bad headache. And after tonight's shiur, I have a lot more work to do. And then I go home and I daven arvus and then I have to prepare food. And then I have more work to do. Okay, Baruch Hashem. So what would be the point of writing a whole shiur on shalom if I can't be kovish my yitzer when everyone comes home? Is it their fault I spend 5 hours writing the shiur? Is it their fault I have a bad headache? It's no one else's fault. And I wasn't going to scream at anybody. Baruch Hashem, the house is quiet. There's no screaming. Baruch Hashem. I wasn't planning to, but I'm saying I had this mechshava. My head's really hurting, but you can't take it on somebody else. You spent the whole day writing a shiur on shalom and now you're going to take it on somebody else. So what was the whole point? You may as well tear up your shiur. So that's what we have to think to ourselves. That's like, this is mamash how I think. That's how we should all be thinking. As a caveat, what's the point of our learning? To be intellectually stimulating? It's very nice. Lo modu lamed lishmor vela asos. If we're not applying it to our lives, then what is the point? What's the point? It has to change who we are. You have to be kovish your yetzer in the morning. Okay, you didn't sleep enough. Okay, you're tired. Okay, you went to sleep too late. Okay, you're rushed to get out to work in the morning. Okay, don't take it out on the people in your house. It's not their fault. So you spend so many hours working on a shiur, sitting at your desk, and it's very intense, and it's very labor-intensive, and it's intellectually also stimulating and wonderful, and Baruch Hashem Torah, but it's also exhausting. And you still have to teach, and you still have more work to do. It's not anyone else's problem. As kovish is your yetzer, and it's something that applies to every single person in their life, in their situation. It's not that. We're all busy. We all have schedules, and sometimes other people also have headaches, so don't take it out on the people around you. But why? Because there's a ribon sholem. Not only because you want shalom, not only because you don't want screaming in your house, because there is a ribono shel olam. That's why we have to be rach, kind of soft like a reed. Going on. Okay. Well, we're getting up to something. Oive, here we go. Not oive, just big mussar. Not from me, the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, so what happens? Okay. The wife's home, she's tired. The husband comes home, he's tired. Everyone's tired. The kids are crutching. He says something to her she shouldn't have said. She said something to him she shouldn't have said. What happens? Let's talk about what should happen, says Rav Victor Miller. Not what happens. Let's talk about italics, what should happen. Not only does the other party sacrifice the ego, but he's thinking, I'm confessing to you, Hashem. Just like the one who brings a carbon has to do smicha. If you look at that Ramban, to Perek Al Pasuk Tes, he talks about the smicha also. Smicha is you lean your hands on the head of the carbon. Smicha, when a rabbi gives smicha, lismoch means to lean. That's what smicha means. Moshe was somich his hands on Yeshua. I think it was in Parshas Pinchas also. It was also in Pinchas. Moshe was somich his hands on Yeshua. It means to lean. It's come to take on the term of granting rabbanus to the next person, but it means to lean your hands on that person. Okay. So when someone brings a carbon, he has to do smicha on the carbon. He leans his hands on the carbon and he confesses that it's really my sins. The cow didn't do anything. Hashem, in his mercy, is taking the sheep, the cow, the goat, the flour, the poured wine libation offering. It's instead of me. And we confess, I'm confessing to Hashem, just like the one who brings a carbon, leans on the carbon and confesses his sin. So too, that's what you have to do. Call his oveh has yitzro, anyone who slaughters his inclination, the false eye, umisvada alav, he has to confess upon it. Now what does this mean? It means this. By the way, I do not tell my family all these things. I don't go through the hall. How ironic would it be if I gave a shiur on shalom and now I have a headache and now I'm annoyed with all of you. I don't tell them that. If they listen to shiur, they'll hear. Oh, this is so cute. Remember we were talking about salad? I hope you all remember what we were. Remember we were talking about salad? Yeah, so a few of you remember. And if it's all mixed together, you don't taste the components, right? So you have to identify your ratzon in Avodah Hashem, because if everything is mixed together, it's hard to identify the real you. It's hard to identify what your ratzon is. Everything's mixed together. So I mentioned that when salad doesn't have dressing, you could taste the ingredients more. And I think I said, I'm not sure, I must have said that my husband, you remember? Yeah, if you're ready. So over Yantif, we were someone who listens to the Shari Shir. We were with someone who listens to the Shari Shir every week on Rayu Torah. And she says to my husband, something about him not liking salad with dressing. He's like, what? Micha, what are you saying in Shir? So, I don't know, I give examples. We were talking about salad and that doesn't associate. It was hysterical. It was hysterical. It was very cute. It was very cute. Okay.
I don't either like dressing. I like to taste the actual items.
So that's what my husband says. He says you can taste the vegetables if there's no dressing.
From when you went to Florida and he ordered something there or something, right?
Yeah, when we were in Florida, that's why we were with somebody else who also doesn't like. Right. So now if my husband listens to the shiur, he's going to hear, he doesn't listen. He's going to hear a recap of everything, but it was really, really funny. Why am I saying this? Because I don't go through the whole story at home saying I worked all day in a shiur of Shalom for 5 hours and now I have a headache and I'm going to try not to scream at you, yeah?
And other people agree with him.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I really do not like salad without dressing. It's not my taste. I like dressing. Maybe that means all my ratzons are all mixed up and I'm confused inside, chas v'shal. I don't know. I really, today my salad had pesto dressing on it. I like dressing. Okay.
But I always say it's salad. I always ask for the dressing at the side.
Say it again.
I always ask for the dressing at the side.
So I also ask for the dressing at the side because I don't like how they dump it on, but I enjoy dressing. Okay, let's go. A man thinks, here we go. What does this mean? This is what it means, says Rav Avigdor Miller. Okay? A man thinks to himself, do I deserve to be the winner in every altercation? Haven't I been wrong so many times? I was just talking to somebody over Yantef who is a master at Bein Adam Chaveiro. She's really one of the most brilliant individuals I have ever met in Bein Adam Chaveiro. Really. Really. She said something to me. She said, you know, just like I have faults, she's not a magachir. She's not a teacher. She's a master ben adam chaveiro. And she says, just like I have faults, and I want people to accept me. Again, we're not talking about any extreme situation. I say 10 times because I don't want someone to email me and say, God forbid. I'm in an abusive situation. You gave terrible advice. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things you can overlook. So she said, just like I have faults, and I want people to overlook them and accept me for who I am, I have to be willing to overlook other people's faults and accept them for who they are. She's a master at Bein Adam Chaveiro. Do I deserve to be... So Rav Avigdor Miller says, a person should think to themselves, exactly what this woman said to me. By the way, the salad lady and the Vatranas lady were not the same people. Do I deserve to be the winner in every altercation? Haven't I been wrong so many times? This is what a person should think to themselves. Haven't I given my word to do something and then forgotten to do it? This has happened many times. Maybe I've said unkind words in my life. Maybe there are instances when I've been disloyal, not only to my family. Wasn't I disloyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? People who say unkind words are disloyal. Many times parents neglect the welfare of their children. Many times a husband is inconsiderate about his wife. Many times she was careless about his wishes or his comfort or his feelings. What Avigdor Miller is saying is that a tool to be able to bend Rach Kekana, again, I don't remember who I first heard it from, Oso Shalom B'Rabba. You want Shalom? Take 3 steps back. You want more Shalom? Learn to bend to the left. More Shalom? Bend to the right. Bend forward. Just learn. So what Avigdor Miller is saying, one way that we can train ourselves, first of all, remember there's a Ribbono Shalom. That's first of all. Second of all, the next thing we have to know is, look at my own faults. I was never a fault. I was never disloyal. I was never disloyal to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I never spoke Lashon Hara. I always davened perfectly. My benching was always exceptional. Says Rav Avigdor Miller, you didn't sin today. I'm mamish quoting. Listen to this. Says Rav Avigdor Miller, Parshas Vayikra Torah of Avigdor, offering up your ego, page 14. You didn't sin today. You said today all the Psukei Dezimra. And you were thinking about all the great ideas of David HaMelech's words in your Psukei Dezimra. You said brachos, every single bracha today with Kavana. You greeted every single person you met with the Sefer Panim Yafos. I'm quoting him verbatim. We have a lot of responsibilities. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher lo yachta. It's not possible that you're a person who never sinned. No one, not even the biggest Baal Gaiva, can claim to be perfect. Maybe the biggest Baal Gaiva can claim to be perfect, but no. So now, Avigdor Miller says this. Ready? The first thing he says is, you didn't sin today. You said all the Psukei Dezimra. And when you recited them, you said them perfectly. You had all the kavanas that David HaMelech intended in his words. You said all your brachas with kavana. Ready? This is very sobering. Maybe you are on this level. I'm frightening. I am quoting from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch Arachayim. Hilchos Psukei Dezimra. Okay. Psukei Dezimra is psukim, literally, verses of praise. Okay. It starts, well, we start off with Berachas HaShachar, Amen Korbanos, and then before the Berachas of Kriya Shema, we have the Psukei Dezimra. They are compilations of psukim and chapters, mostly from Tehillim, Psalms. Sam yes, as Yashir, Vayberach David. Okay, mostly from Psalms, not totally. And they are songs of praise to God. Before we accept Kavalos Ol Malchus Shemaim, Shema, before we ask for all of our Bakashos, the Amida, we praise the Ribono Shel Olam. So this is Hilchos Brachos, Simon Nun Aleph. Okay. I'm quoting from Hilchos Berkas HaShachar. I don't know why I said that. I'm quoting from Hilchos Psukei Dezimra. Dinei Tefila, Simon Nun Aleph. Dinei Tefila. Listen. Simon Nun Aleph. Dinei Tefila min Baruch Sh'amar Adi Shtabach. Okay. What we typically classify as Psukei Dezimra. Ubo tes se'ifim. Se'if ches. Ein omrim hazmiros v'mirutza ki'im benachas. You should not say the Psukei Dezimra from Baruch Sh'amar through Yishtabach. Ein omrim hazmiros. You don't say these songs of praise. B'merutza. B'merutza means quickly. Ki'im benachas. You should say, I don't know, you can't say nachas.
Softly.
What?
Calmly.
You should not say these miros of Psukei Dezimra rushed or quick. You should say them benachas ruach, calmly, at rest, at ease, take your time. That is what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch was compiled and composed by Rav Yosef Karo in the 1500s. The Ramah does not comment, there are no glosses of the Ramah into that seif, but the Mishnah Brura, the great Chafetz Chaim, Rav Yisrael Meir Kohen Kagan Avradin, Zchusa Yagin Aleinu, ready? B'merutza, quickly. In other words, you should not say them quickly. Shelo yidaleg shum teva, velo yavli aim. You should not skip over any word, and you should not swallow your words. Ela yotzi mi piv, you should bring them out of your mouth. Ki ilu mona maos.
He's counting money.
What?
Like he's counting mona. Money.
Look it up.
Wow.
Tilchos Psukei Dezimra. Simon Nun Aleph. Se'if Ches. With the Mishnah Brura there. What? I can't hear.
It's the easiest to rush during Psukei Dezimra.
I can't hear.
It's very easy to rush.
That's, yeah. That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. It's very, very frightening. Wait, I'm going to call it more. Here we go. Shelo yidaleg shum teva levelo yavliim. I have this problem. I've discussed it with my son. I asked him for an eitzah. I have a problem that, and my son said to me, Mommy, everyone has this problem. And you see, the Mishnah Berurah is not talking to one person. Clearly, this is an issue.
Broad.
Yeah, this is an issue in Avodas Hashem that affects people because otherwise the Mishnah Berurah would not be writing it. Like my son said to me, especially Kriya Shema Lamita. I find, especially by Kriya Shema, that you're already so tired at that time of night. And the more tired I am, the easier it is to go fast and to swallow your words. Shelo yidaleg shum teva. You should not swallow any word. You should not skip any word. Velo yavli'im. And you should not swallow your words. Ela yotzi mipiv kilu mona maos. You should extract the words from your mouth as if you're counting money. Now, if someone owed you $500, $200, never mind $2,000 or $2 million, $200, and they came to pay you in singles, okay? You're going to count and make sure that they paid you $200. you should say Psukei Dezirma. You hear the Musar the Mishnah Berurah is giving us. You should say your davening, your Psukei Dezirma, as if you're counting money. Rechamon Tzlan, that the Mishnah Berurah knows, we need such an example, because that means everyone knows how to count money, but not everyone knows how to daven properly. Believe me, I'm talking to myself. Listen to this. Continues the Mishnah Berurah. The Kos of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid writes, Listen to this. Misha eino mubash heitev, someone who is not dressed properly, yispalo beveso bechoref benachas. Now you have to understand, we're not talking about today, right? When you could buy easily down coats, and you have to buy the most expensive down coats, and Costco sells beautiful ones, and Thanksgiving sales sell beautiful ones. You could buy a down coat. You go from your heated house to your heated car, with the seat warmers, to your heated shawl, in your danko, and your tights, or your leggings, and your skirt, and your gloves, and your mittens. You're talking about hundreds of years ago, when they did not have these, what we consider necessities. So the Rav Yehuda Chassid writes, Mina she'eino mubash heitev. Let's say you have a choice to go to base knesses. Again, this doesn't apply today. Let's say you have a choice to go to, generally, it doesn't apply today. Let's say you have a choice to go to base Knesset, but it's freezing cold out. And if you go to base Knesset not dressed properly, it's going to be too hard to concentrate on the davening because you're going to be so cold, you're going to be rushing and swallowing and skipping words. Therefore, Rav Yehuda Chassid writes, Misha eino mulbash heitev, someone who is not dressed appropriately, yispala beveso bechores benachas. He should better daven at home in his own house and take his time. Now, wait, parentheses in the Mishnah Berurah. The Efshar derotza lomar, it's possible he means to say, Shemachmas hakor einu yachol lekavin, gam betfilas yurches kira'ui. Perhaps, as the Mishnah Berurah, Yehuda Chassid means to say, that because it's so cold, when he goes out dressed inappropriately, he will not be able to have proper kavana, even in his amida, tefila yurches, the Shmona Esrei, even in his Shmona Esrei, like he should. So for sure he can't have kavana by Shema Koleinu and Avarachaman and Rifa'enu. For sure he's not going to have kavana by the Halalukas for Yivarech Davi. He's just going to be running through it. So Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says, so stay home if there's still embers burning from the fireplace and you're still warm in your house. So actually don't go out and daven b'yichidus. Again, we're not men. We don't have a chiyuv to daven with minyan. I'm not paskening any halacha. I'm bringing that to show us how serious a person must take proper tefillah, proper enunciation, I'm talking only to myself, proper enunciation, and to take time with our tefillahs. In this edition of the Mishnah Berurah, it's the Mishnah Berurah Dirshu, so it also has Biurim Umisafim. It has glosses to the Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah is notes on the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. We have the Mishnah Berurah. It has glosses, additional teachings, usually from modern day commentators like quotes Rav El Yashiv, quotes Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadikim Kodeshim Devracha, so Rav Moshe Feinstein. Okay, so the glosses to the Mishnah Berurah in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah teach as follows. Okay, going back to the Mishnah Berurah. Now we went through the Mishnah Berurah. Shelo yidaleg shum teva velo yavliem ela yod save me piv. This is interesting. He shouldn't skip any word. He shouldn't swallow them. He should extract them from his mouth. However, the gloss is, the Mishnah Berurah says later in Simen Kuf Aleph, which I did not look up. I'm just quoting the glosses, okay? Shemikol makom. So now what the Mishnah Berurah says is you should extract them from your mouth. The translation's my own, so it's probably not the best translation. Yotzi maybe you should say the words the Mishnah Berurah is saying. However, further on, the Mishnah Berurah is going to write in Simon Kuf Aleph, Shem mikol makom tov shelo laharim kolo, afilu bepesuke dezimra, ki Hashem shomea kishem mispala belachash. Very interesting. Now we're talking about chinuch, and we're not talking about in the kids' schools, and we're not talking about siyagum, you know, when you're younger and everybody davens together. That's not what this is speaking about. That's a different inyan. However, even though here the Mishnah Berurah writes, Eliyot save me piv, he should take them out from his mouth. In what fashion should he take them out from his mouth? Mikol makom, the Mishnah Berurah teaches us later, tov shelo laharim kolo. It shouldn't be b'kol rab. When you're saying your psukei dezimra, your ashra, your haleluka, your reich david, your az yashir, it shouldn't be b'kol rab. Afil b'psukei dezimra. So we usually think what should be quiet? The amida. Svasen os rak kolay nishma, her Svasen os v'kolo lo yishma. We think it should be that the Amida should be silent. Now the Mishnah Berurah says no. Actually, afil b'psukei dezimra, even by these songs of praise from Baruch Shama Tishtabach, you should not raise your voice. Ki Hashem shamo kishemispala balachash. Because the same Hashem who could hear when you're screaming also hears you when you are quiet. So, but I find it helps me when I say the words out loud. Yeah, because if I'm saying them, I find it's a tool that really helps me, because if I'm saying them totally under my breath, it's much harder for me to enunciate properly. But you could say them out loud quietly. You don't have to be screaming to be saying the words out loud. There is a way that you could say the words in a low voice quietly, but you're still saying the words. So that's one thing that's interesting. Furthermore, ki'ilu mona ma'os, as if he's counting money. So the Beirurim Umusafim say as follows. Ready? Quotes the Sefer Kav HaYashar, which I actually have at home. It's a like Hasidic Kabbalistic Sefer. The Sefer Kav HaYashar, Kabbalistic. He talks about the Sitra Achara a lot. Okay. V'hosif b'Sefer Kav HaYashar. The Sefer Kav HaYashar teaches as follows. Listen. Sheyesh asara dvarim, shebeistin shamala manidim aleihem. There are 10 things, the Sefer Kav HaYashar says, which the Beis Din Shamala, the heavenly courts, condemn a person over. And what is one of these 10 things? V'achar mehem hu ha'omer shiros v'sishbrachos b'merutza. V'eino motziv mipiv ha'tevos b'shleimus. I'm going to translate it. B'shafa brura mibaruch sh'amar tfilas yishtabach. The Sefer Kav HaYashar teaches that there are 10 things, 10 matters, that the heavenly court condemns a person over. The echad mehem hu, and one of them is, ha'omer shiros v'sisbrachos b'merutza, someone who says the songs and the praises quickly, the eino motziv mipiv ha'tevos b'shlemus, and he does not say the words he does not utter with his mouth the words completely, so he swallows one word to the next. B'safa berura, with a clear language, mibaruch shamar tefilas yishtabach. From baruch shamar to the tefilas yishtabach. So that's what this Kabbalistic Sefer Kav HaYashar, Hasidic Kabbalistic / Sefer Kav HaYashar teaches, that there's 10 things in the Olam HaEmes that a person will be condemned for, and one of them is not enunciating and davening the psukei dezimra properly. So that is the Shulchan Aruch with the Mishnah Berurah and the glosses. So it's a very, very big avoda. It's also a very big mussar from the Mishnah Berurah, the Chavetz Chaim. You know, my brother just said to me last night, he sent me a few pictures when he was in Eretz Yisrael with one of his children for a bar mitzvah trip 4.5 years ago. So he sent me last night the pictures with him and his son with Rav Gershon Zatzal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The pictures with him and his son and Rav Gershon Zecher Tzadik, the Kodesh Levracha. And my brother wrote to me, I told you once about watching him Daven Maariv. And I said, you did, and I remember. And he told me, watching Rav Gershon, I think it was that night, there was Minyan in the house. He said, watching him Daven Maariv. He said, Shmanasri took him 15 minutes. My brother said, I was just watching him. His finger was on every word. I'm talking about 4.5 years ago. So if he was nifter at 100, I'm talking when he was 95 and a half. So this is someone who's davening for decades, almost a century. And my brother said the finger was on everywhere. The Amida, the Shema Esrei, took 15 minutes. So first of all, the Gedolim live mamash in a different realm of existence than we do, than I do. Totally different realm of existence. But I try. Take one paragraph, one Halleluka paragraph, or whatever. Maybe you're in a different place than I am. Maybe, Baruch Hashem, this is much easier for you. I'm not being facetious, I'm being very serious. But if it's something that's difficult for you, or something that you're working on, so I try and, let's say, take one paragraph, or even one sentence, or one phrase, and say this phrase, benachas, don't swallow the words, enunciate every word carefully. I do find it helps me when I say the words. Now, again, you don't have to scream in order to enunciate every word properly. It's possible to talk in a low voice and still enunciate. But the reason I thought of this teaching of the Mishnah Berurah and then I looked up further the glosses is because the last thing Rabbi Victor Miller said is, do I deserve to be the winner in every altercation? Haven't I been wrong so many times? Haven't I given my word to do something and forgotten many times? How many instances have I been disloyal? Never mind to other people. But what about to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You didn't sin today. You said all the Psukei Dezirma, and you were thinking about all the great ideals of King David's word. You said all your brachos with Kavana, so you could see why. Rav Avigdor Mili here reminds me of this Mishnah Berurah. You greeted everyone with a Sefer Panim Yafos. It's impossible. We have a lot of responsibilities. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher lo yachta. There's no such thing as a righteous person on the earth who does not sin. Not even the biggest Baal Gaiva will claim to be perfect. So Be'ezer Hashem, we will continue with next time. A lot of avodah to work on. Constant avodah to be working to better our neshamos in the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Be'ezer Hashem, we'll continue next time. May the neshama of Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak Alal Shal merit a continuous aliyah and zechira letova, and the merit of these divrei Torah. I wish everybody a gevaldik week. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol tov and layla tov to all.